I'm going to go ahead and pray right now. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you this morning and we worship you. And Holy Spirit, I pray today that you'll move us to action like never before, that you'll just reveal yourself to us and the things that we need to do moving ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And before I do that, I just want to remind everybody we are sending our youth to Tampa, Florida, to fire conference. Our youth caught fire last year. We want to keep sowing that. We want to keep stirring that up in them. Amen. And there's life change when that happens. You know, they came back and lives were changed. Amen. And I could tell you, you know how many of you know we need to get refreshed every once in a while, right? Especially our young people. They get tired of listening to their parents. So we got to send them off and get them under that anointing. Amen? Not that they're not under it here, but it's something special when you go away like that. And we love the River Church and Rodney Howard Brown, and we know that they bring it to the young people. They do not compromise. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, Easter's going to be here in a couple of weeks. Amen? And some of you, you've been hearing the advertisement about the Easter presentation. And I just want to say to you that this Easter presentation is going to be incredible. And I know you've heard this, but I know everybody in this place knows somebody that is lost, that is not saved. Listen, Do you know, besides my sister getting saved, and I didn't know what she was talking about, and I hadn't seen her in months. She was over in California. I was in Arizona. But, you know, I was at work one night, and my best friend had been going to church, and I didn't even know. And I said, "Where have you been?" She said, "To church." She said, "You want to come?" Just like that. And I said, "Yeah." And you know what? It was a Wednesday night. There was hardly nobody in the church. Everybody looked like they were over eight. I mean, they just looked old to me. But I got radically saved that night. I'm telling you, invite somebody on Easter Sunday. We're going to talk about that this morning and the importance, because so many times we get caught up in our lives. We get caught up in our cares and we get caught up in our worries. But you know, Jesus has called us to win the lost. At any cost. Amen? He's called us to go and touch the world. If we were just to get saved and go to heaven, then we could have just got saved and go to heaven. But you are going, you are around people every single day. I'm gonna talk a little bit this morning about a difficult subject that a lot of people don't want to hear. And it might start out a little heavy, but it gets good at the end. Can you stick around for it? Can you handle it? Amen? Amen. So I'm gonna talk about a subject that, honestly, you could talk about it for a long time and you could not exhaust it, but I just got a short time this morning. They have 29 minutes and 53 seconds up there, and we'll try to get it in on that. But I'm going to talk a little bit first about the subject of hell, because many churches don't talk about it today. The word hell is used in thousands of conversations every day. An alcoholic once said that he was enduring a living hell. If you talk to people like that. I heard a woman once, she was married only 2 years, but she said it was like hell on earth. People talk about hell in so many different ways. They use the word. They use it daily in swearing. But the doctrine of hell is not only unpopular in most churches, but it's almost a forgotten one. People put it aside. If people could remove it from the Bible, they would. You've talked to people. There are people's opinions out there, people that never read their Bible. But because it's not been preached, few people seem to actually believe in hell anymore. It's some kind of fairy tale. It is not a fairy tale. It's a bad fairy tale if it is. But it's not a fairy tale. But Jesus mentioned hell over and over again. And if he mentioned it over, he talked about hell more than anyone else in the Bible. And if he did, we need to talk about it in the church. We need to be concerned about others. So most people, they just, you know, Pastor Judy, we want to hear about faith and love and the power of God. But they don't want to hear about the subject of hell. But there is a place called hell. And for those that reject Jesus, hell is going to be their end place. You might say, I don't believe that. Well, I don't believe that you read your Bible. Others claim that the doctrine of hell is old-fashioned and out of date. When it becomes old-fashioned and out of date to warn men from a fleeing building, then hell will be old-fashioned and out of date. It is not old-fashioned. It is not out of date. People say, well, why would we scare people into hell? I was thinking about my salvation. And when I went to church that night, they preached on end times. It was an evangelist there, and he taught on the end times and taught on hell and eternity. And I don't even know. I remember the end times. But you know what? There was a fear that came on me. I did not want to go into an eternity without God. But with that fear came a love that you can't even imagine and you can't even explain. And so many people say, well, we got to bring the grace of God and we got to bring the love of God. The grace of God was that Jesus went to the cross to keep us from going into an eternity without him to a place that was not made for you and I, but for the devil and his angels. That fear was there. And I did go and warn people. I believed it. It wasn't like, well, let's just see. Let's go see where it's. I believed the word of God when I heard it. It was the first time I'd ever heard it like that. But something happens because when the word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit works with the word. And if you never tell people, then how can the Holy Spirit work with it? Because he's the one that draws men to Christ. But he works with the word of God. Let's read a story here in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. We're gonna read this story. And just remember this. Hell is eternal. It's forever. There's a beautiful place called heaven. We are not going to cease to exist when we leave this earth. I don't care what you think. You're not going to be burned up and just the bugs are going to eat you and you're just going to disappear. Your spirit is going somewhere. And Jesus, the greatest story ever told, the greatest love that ever imagined, he went to the cross to keep us from going to this place. Jesus is telling this story here. And it's in Luke chapter 16, verse starts with 19. Jesus said there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed and who lived each day in luxury. At his door lay a diseased beggar named Lazarus. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. And there in torment, say torment. This isn't a joke. This isn't some kind of scare tactic. This is the Bible. If you can believe one part, you got to believe the whole Bible. There in torment, he saw Lazarus in the far distance with Abraham. But Abraham said to him, son, he saw, I skipped a scripture here. You got verse 24 up there? Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. These are not my words. Leave that scripture up there. These are Jesus' words. Jesus is telling this story. He's saying, please, my tongue needs to be cooled off. I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25. But Abraham said to him, son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us. Anyone who wanted to cross over to you from here is stopped at its edge and no one there can cross over to us. Then the rich man said this, "Please, Father Abraham, send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them about this place of torment so they won't have to come here when they die." Now, I could relate to this, because when I received Jesus, when I got born again, all I wanted to do was tell my mother. All I wanted to do was, I just wanted my family to be saved. I wasn't in torment. I wasn't in hell. I was saved. But he was in torment. It was too late for this guy. And he was saying, "Please don't let him come here. Please, I have five brothers. I want to warn them about this place." Verse 30, the rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham." I'm missing some scriptures here. It's not you guys, it's me. Then the rich, "Please send him to my father, for I have five brothers." That's verse 29. Let's skip to first. Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Then the rich man said, "The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will turn from their sins." But Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead." The story here in Luke indicates that this man did not have a second chance. It indicates in the story that this man became very very evangelistic. He wanted to reach his brothers after his death. Think of it. He was in hell. He wanted his brothers to be reached by somebody, to go to his home and warn his family not to come there. Do anything. He wanted to send people to say to his family, "Do anything, but do not come here. Whatever you do." And those people that have gone on before us that maybe be in hell now, we don't know who's there and who's not, but there are people in hell. And you're going to say, "Well, God is he's a bit." No, he's not. You've got to read the whole Bible. But there are people suffering right now in the pangs of eternity. And they would stand here if they could. And they would warn us, turn away. Repent of your sins and receive Christ. Be sure of your relationship. Do not come to this place. You know, let me just read the statistic before I go on. The United States Catholic Magazine, a few years back, polled Americans. This is just Americans. And came up with the figure, 86% said they believed in the existence of hell. Yet no one wants to talk about it. No one wants to warn people. No one wants to. Can you imagine that? 86% of Americans said that they believed in the existence of hell. You can never understand hell until you understand the love and the mercy and the grace of God. I mean, I think sometimes we become familiar with Jesus going to the cross. We become familiar with forgiveness. Church becomes, it's church. We love God. We're going to heaven. And the rest of the world can go to hell. Hell was not made for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But some have taken license and imagination and distorted the idea of judgment. Some people say that God is not a God of love, and if there is a hell, it's their opinion. It's their opinion. Listen, God created man. He created them for fellowship. He created them without sin, but every man has a choice. Adam messed up in the garden. God's a holy God. Sin cannot get into heaven. Just imagine heaven. You died. Your spirit goes up there. You're at the doorway. You're ready thinking you're going to heaven. And God says, "Why should I let you in this place?" And you can tell him, "I've done this. I've been in church. I was Pastor Ed and Judy's right-hand person. I did everything good." That's not going to get you into heaven. You know what's going to get you into heaven? It is so simple, and that's what's great about the the grace of God. Hell is an awful place. It is torment. It's created for the devil and his angels. God, Jesus talks about men going there. Just like I said, nobody talked about hell more than Jesus talked about hell. But you, and to get into that, to that place of heaven, and not to be separated from God for eternity, you've got to receive Jesus as your sacrifice. Because we were all sinners. All men had evil hearts. And that's why Jesus went to that cross. Because he had to take our sin. He never sinned. He took our sin. Some of you need to watch The Passion again. He took your sin. You know, one day I was just kind of like, you know, I was just talking to God, and you know, and the thought came to me about, you know, I just, sometimes thoughts go through us that are ridiculous. And I just said, God, we just, hearts are so evil. They're so wicked sometimes. If you'll admit it to yourself, you know, you have thoughts. And then I thought, so many people I hear say, God knows my heart. And I want to say, yeah, he really does. And yet he still went to the cross for you. He still bore that sin. He still took care of it all. But you know what? The world doesn't know this. I didn't know this. I didn't know God's love the way that I knew him when I got born again. Thank God somebody invited me to church. Thank God I got saved. Thank God somebody told me about Jesus. It's our responsibility to tell the world. It's our responsibility to tell the world. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus said that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you accept the teachings of Jesus, you are forced to accept that there is a place of judgment for those who reject him. Jesus warned us to flee from it. But God loved us so much that he devised a plan to save us so that we will never have to spend one day in hell. Never have to spend. You know, sometimes I think we can become familiar with hell. Oh, it's just hell. You know, whatever. I'm telling you, I'm praying for God to bring such a revelation of this to the world, to the church world, so that they can go, so that they know that they must go. They must go and preach the gospel. They must go and tell. Pastor talked about, has been talking about this. God's grace and mercy is so thrilling that if it were not for the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, every one of us would have ended up in hell. You don't want hell to be your final destination. You know, we prepare for everything. We prepare for education. We prepare our kids to go to school. We prepare for retirement. We you know, for our careers. We prepare to get married. We take out every kind of insurance that we can. We just prepare for everything. But the scripture says in Amos 4:11-13, it says to prepare to, and I didn't give you guys the scripture, so don't go looking for it. It says prepare to meet your God. We are to prepare to meet God. We are going to meet him. He is real. And the more you read your Bible, the more you're going to see this. It's not just going to be something, oh, this is good information, Pastor Judy. No, it'll be when I ran out of that church that night, it was revelation. It was not something to hold back. It was not something to be inhibited about or intimidated. It was something that I didn't know. Mark 16 said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I just knew everybody needed to be saved. I mean, to think at that time, I mean, I know many of you got saved like that. I remember thinking this needs to be on NBC, CBS. Those were the only three channels back then. Shows you how many years ago it was. But for 40 years, it kept me. For 40 years, I'm still telling people about Jesus. I'm still finding ways, and we need to all find ways. And not only that, we have the power of prayer behind us. And when we pray, God moves. Some of you might not believe that, but if you'll pray for your family, they'll come into the kingdom of God. You know, it's funny, I think about the mercy and the grace of God and the man on the cross. Remember the man on the cross? He was a terrible sinner. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He was just a bad guy. Amen? And think of it. The first person that Jesus took into paradise with him was that thief. Because he believed in Jesus as a son of God, dying for his sin. Amen? You and I are going to be living somewhere forever for eternity. Your neighbor, your coworker, your mom, your dad, your children, everybody that you know, they are going to be living. Where are they going to be living in eternity? Where? I mean, if you really believe the Bible, you cannot count this out. I challenge you, study the Bible. They're trying to change the Bible. They want to make, they want to have a transgender Bible. They want to have a she Bible. God's a God. You can't change the Bible. They want to make it up to date. They want to modernize it. You cannot change the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, and every word will come to pass. Amen? Whatever hell is, it's going to be a terrible and awful place where millions will spend eternity for their rejection of Jesus Christ. Every man has to make his own choice. God has called us, you and I, to warn men and to reach the lost. You know, this isn't a church growth message, guys. Because a lot of times when you preach on hell, the church don't grow, it goes down. This church is growing. He's called us to reach the world. The headlines of the world are speaking to us that Christ is coming soon. Things are happening so fast out there. If you've lived as long as I have, things are happening fast out there. Every prophet that I've listened to, every end time person says nothing else needs to happen before Jesus comes. My God, that should get us. We've got to tell the world. The world has to know. They have to know about Jesus. They have to know about his mercy. They have to know about his grace. You can't stop. You can't quit. And many of you know this story, but when I would go home and tell my mother, you know, I'm saved, and she would yell out her religion, I'm this, and that's that, because of that she was saved. And my mom, she beat your butt, you know. She was little, but you were afraid of my mom. We had the fear of our mom. We didn't, you know, don't you say that again. But did I quit? No, I prayed. I kept praying. I went to the evangelist. He was going to be there one more night. I said, my mom got to get saved. He said, let's stand on Matthew 18:19. And you know what we prayed for? We prayed that she'd come to church. But I couldn't invite her. But somebody that I knew went by that she loved. And she went to church that night and got saved, her and my sister. You know? It was such a miracle. What I'm trying to say is I'm not anybody special. I didn't have any teaching on faith. I was just saved. But you got to have the passion on the inside of your heart. The Apostle Paul had the passion to tell the world about his transformation. He went in front of King Agrippa and the Sanhedrin and everybody, and he just kept talking about, people say, what do I tell people, Jesus? Tell them that they must be born again and tell them to read John chapter 3. But tell them about your transformation. So many people that have said the sinner's prayer, well, you know, I just keep it in myself. I just keep it in my heart. Are you kidding me? We've been called to tell. We've been called to be excited about it, to tell. Jesus told multitudes and told his disciples to go and tell the world. Amen? Where will you be in eternity? Where will your neighbor be? Where will your school friends be? Where will they be? Where will your mom be? Will they be banished from heaven? And then people just get this thing, well, God's such a good God, everybody's going to go to heaven. You know, the Bible says even the deceived will be even the elect will be deceived. You don't keep God's word before you, you're going to get in trouble. Amen? Jesus emphasized, he spoke about hell many times, and he emphasized that the fact that men should avoid hell at all cost. He called it everlasting punishment, outer darkness, where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He called it a furnace of fire. He called it a place prepared for the devil and his angel. He called it a place where the worm dies not. You will be in hell where there will be worms that do not die. He called it a fire that is not quenched. He told us that it is a place where we have consciousness and the use of all of our faculties. Never, ever, never, ever, 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 no way of escape forever, for eternity. What has God has called us to do? In Mark 16, he says, Jesus said this. He told them, go into all the world and preach the good news. And the good news is Jesus died for your sin. Everybody, you may have a lot of people. There are people that are living in sin, people maybe that are not married that are living together, people that are stealing, people that are lying, people that are whatever. Don't worry about that stuff. God's love is unconditional. Don't start telling people what they can't and cannot do. Because you show me one person without sin. Just show me one. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. All he said was, go into all the world. Preach the good news to everyone everywhere. The good news is that Jesus died for their sins, that they have been forgiven. And this is the whole picture, that they have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. They have to believe that he died and he went to hell and he rose from the dead for them. They have to take him as their sacrifice. He pardons them. They have to receive that pardon. Amen? And he goes on, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Matthew 9:37 says, he said to his disciples, the harvest is so great, but the workers are few. God forbid if we think we are exempt from telling the world about Jesus. I told this story years ago when I was preaching in youth ministry, but it just made such an impact on me. These young boys were all a part of a basketball team, and this young man got saved, and he loved God, he went to church, but he was afraid to tell his friends. And he'd go and play basketball with his friends. He let fear keep him from telling his friends. And so one day there was a car accident. And they all died. And they all went into this holding place. And it showed this was a movie, by the way. But it showed this holding place. And it showed them having a conversation. And they're going, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And this other kid goes, well, this is what I think is going to happen. You know, he was going to go to heaven because he was saved. And all his buddies said, why didn't you tell us? Why did you not tell us? And then it shows him going to heaven and them going to an eternity without God. Who's going to say to us, why didn't we tell them? Why didn't we tell them? We have a new neighbor, and I just can't wait to tell them about Jesus. But they have this dog. He's a rescue dog, and he was a fighter dog. So every time they walk by our house, our dog and their dog just really, you know, our dog's not a fighter dog, but I don't want my dog near this dog. And so even if I walk up to them to say hello, and the only time we ever see them is with their dog. So every time I walk up to them, their dog just goes bananas. Oh, yeah, I know, you got a dog like us, huh? And then, yeah, yeah, whatever. But I'm praying for an open door. Amen? I'm praying. See, nothing should deter us. You got to get a little focus and just say, you know, God, there's a way. There's a way. to tell them about Jesus. Jesus has said in Luke 19:10, "And I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save those who are lost." That's why Jesus came. You were lost. I was lost. Daniel 12:3 says this, "Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who turn many to righteousness will shine like stars forever." Have you ever seen stars shining in the sky? The Bible says if you'll turn many to righteousness, you'll shine like the stars forever. I want to be one of those stars. One time I did a message and I made all these big stars and I put people's faces in them. Amen? So every time everybody looked at that star, I was, oh man, he was a soul winner. She was, oh, I remember her. Oh, she's got a star. Hallelujah. I want to show you something in just a minute, a little video as we get ready to close. But I want to talk about the Apostle Paul for just a second. In Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul was so passionate. He went to the world. I mean, he wrote most of the epistles. He was passionate about his transformation. He didn't never lost that he never lost that passion. He had problems too. He talked about he was chief of sinners. Read Romans chapter 7. He always talks about his struggle with the flesh. But he never lost his passion to tell people about Jesus. And he said this, "In the presence of Christ, I speak with utter truthfulness. I'm not lying to you. And my conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm that what I am saying is true. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers," because he was a rabbi. He knew the scriptures, but he got, you know, radically saved. "For my Jewish brothers and sisters," he said, "I would be willing to be forever cursed and cut off from Christ if that would save them." He had the passion. He like I said, he was not afraid to go before governments. He had a passion to tell of his transformation. He had that encounter with Jesus, and he never stopped talking about it. I'm telling you, when you have an encounter with God, it changes you. It's not something that you can just go home and sit in your living room easy chair and just take care of your family and not worry about the rest of the world. We're called to reach the world. We're called to reach the world. That life-changing experience that took place in Paul's life, when he stood before Agrippa, when he stood before Felix, he stood before the Sanhedrin, and in every one of those occasions, all he could talk about was the transformation that took place in his life. Have you had that encounter? I think about it. I think about the same thing. Listen, God rescued me. I think every day that if I would have died before I was saved, I am completely, fully persuaded and convinced I would be in hell today. The things that I did in the world. And even if I didn't do any of those bad things, even if I was self-righteous and I was a good person and I went to church every day and I fed the poor, but I never received Jesus as my sacrifice. But he rescued me. He rescued us. Why won't we go to the world? Why won't we stir ourselves up and go and reach the world? Listen to this. Romans 5:8. God's love is so great, he said, but God showed how much he loved us by having Christ die for us, even though we were sinful. He died for us while we were dirty, rotten sinners. He died for us while we were cursing his name and damning his father. He died for us. His love extended to us. It says in Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord has appeared of me, old to me. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love." Do you know those people that reject God? The people that are going to eternity without God? Do you know that he still loves them? And John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him," can you get that video ready, guys? I can finish reading this, "will not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. There is no judgment awaiting those who trust him, but those who do not trust him have already been judged for not believing in the only Son of God. Listen, God is counting on us. I'm going to show this video, and then I'm going to close with reading lyrics to a song that I had heard years ago. But this is from a movie about 5 years ago. Has anybody ever seen Hacksaw Ridge? It's a true movie. But this part always moved me, and I'm going to show it to you right now.
Friends would walk up to me and
pretty powerful, huh?
It's in your mug. And I would just it's mud.
I know it's hard. It's not the best video, but his this is a true story. And he was just saving lives for the earth. But how many of us get on our knees and say, God, please help me to win one more? I believe the Apostle Paul was like that. Paul, you know, God, I would give my life up, but he couldn't because Jesus gave his life. But how many of us think we're just so caught up with this world that we just, and honestly, the world today, it's like them and us. No, no, no. God died for the world. And almost, it's almost on the borderline of hating those that are not Christians. Folks, I pray that you'll pray that God will give you one more and one more and one more. I want to read you the lyrics to this in closing. It's called Heaven is Counting on You. Heaven is counting on you. Run with a heart that is true. Carry the cross, reaching the lost. Heaven is counting on you. We are standing at the end of time, and we are part of a grand design. We are grateful to the risen Lord. For the others who have gone before, I hear voices up in the heavenly, and they are calling to you and to me, saying, rise up, there's a world to win. And I hear them saying again, heaven is counting on you. If heaven had to count on you, are we going to reach this world for Jesus? The worship team can come. If you're here this morning, so many people come in, many people come the first time. Listen, I was in a church that talked about Jesus, that had all of these religious things, but I was living like the devil, and I didn't even know about salvation. The church that I grew up in, I never heard that I must be born again. I never heard what Jesus did for me. But I'm telling you, Jesus went to the cross for you. He mended the bridge. Amen? And he wants to come into your heart this morning. And if you're here this morning, we're going to pray this prayer, and we're going to ask you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning. But before we pray that prayer, we're going to pray that prayer, and then we're going to pray another prayer, and I want you to pray it after me, that God will help you to reach one more. Just one more, Lord. When you walk into Dunkin' Donuts, when you go to the drive-up, when you're in the restaurant, when you go visit your family. And I'll say this. You're a family that when I walk in, you could feel the fangs come out. Here she comes. Hallelujah, Judy. But one by one, they're starting to ask questions. One by one, they're getting nicer and nicer because they know that their lives are getting close to eternity, and they want to know. They want to know. Let's bow our heads right now. And if you've never received Jesus, this is your time. Amen. Heavenly Father, say this with me. Heavenly Father, let's all say it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he took away our sins. Jesus, I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I thank you today that I'm saved. I'm born again. I believe what Jesus did for me. And I thank you for it. I thank you that I'm forgiven of every sin that I've ever committed. It's washed away in the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen to me, guys. Easter's coming. There's one scripture in the Bible in the New Testament where it says, Jesus said, you go and you compel them to come in. Compel. He's talking about coming into the kingdom. But this is, you don't even have to say anything. Let us do the work. Let the presentation and the altar call on Easter Sunday do the work. Just get them here if you can't lead them to the Lord. Get somebody here. Compel them. The Bible says one of the words for compel is to bribe. Take them for Easter brunch. Let's not just be about me and my family on Easter Sunday. Let's think about who we can get to come, because the seed is incorruptible. And let's get them to hear the seed. It'll change their life. It'll bring them into eternity. Amen? I love you guys. We're going to see the world saved. We're going to reach New England with the gospel, right? Amen. Amen.